meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, my voice is a little softer than normal from yakking all weekend, but I was yakking about Jesus, so it was worth it. This is verse 22 of Genesis 32. Now he arose that same night, speaking of Jacob. He took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children across the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God, and with men have prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." And he says, "Why did you ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, which means the face of God. And he said, "I've seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved." And the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. And therefore to this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because God touched the socket of Jacob's thigh and the sinew of the hip. Theologians call this a theophany, a manifestation of God physically in some form. Sometimes it's the angel of the Lord, but it's actually a manifestation of Christ, of God, the person of Christ in some form. And Jacob is cornered in a place because his brother, who Jacob had cheated out of his birthright, he hadn't seen in a number of years, and Jacob feared him because he was a fierce warrior anyway. Jacob discovers that his brother Esau is coming towards him with his army. So that's why Jacob's sending everybody away to make them safe, and he was going to just face this by himself. And when he was alone, God began to wrestle with him. And I just read the story, and Jacob realized when Jacob kept resisting, fighting back, and finally God just dislocated his thigh. And then Jacob, he said, "Now let me go." And I love that word Jacob says, "I'll not let you go until you bless me." Man, what, that's a great spirit to have if you're in a place and you need breakthrough. Just have that kind of heart. He said, "I'm going to seek you until we have breakthrough." Then God asked him his name, because God wanted Jacob to be honest. He asked for a blessing, but he wasn't going to bless him with any more phoniness. The word Jacob just means usurper, manipulator. That's who Jacob was. He had learned how to survive just by living in compromise and manipulation and maneuvering. And God knew what his name was. And that's why later when Jacob said, "Well, tell me your name," he said, "Why do you ask me my name? You know who I am." So he asked him his name, and he came clean. He said, "I'm Jacob." But he said, "Well, okay, I'm going to change your name to Israel." And the word Israel literally just means God prevails. There's usually a time in our lives where we come to a place where either God prevails or we prevail, and it's not good if we prevail. And God did this amazing thing in his life. When Jacob says, "I've seen God face to face and have been preserved," he's not saying, "I survived." He's saying, "My life has been preserved. My life has been changed." So he changes his name, and but it says when he left there, he was limping still, that he had a limp. And this is Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse 20, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. And by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff." I believe the indication here is that, what Jacob had was not a disease or a sickness, but it was a thing. He had a limp. And when this environment with God ends in Genesis 32, he still has a limp. And I believe the indication here in chapter 11 is that at the end of his life, as he's blessing his Joseph's kids, which would have been his grandkids, he was leaning on the staff. He still had a limp. But I love what it says here. It says that he blessed Joseph's sons and he worshipped, leaning on his staff. Here's the thing. I believe, and I'm more and more convinced, the biblical model is that I can't see anybody that Jesus prayed for who didn't get healed. I can't find anybody in the book of Acts who were prayed for and didn't get healed. Now, is it possible that it doesn't record some of the ones who didn't get healed in the book of Acts? I don't know. But I know the model God gave us, and so that's what we go after. We want to go after norm, right? And so I'm really not talking about healing today, about sicknesses and disease, that kind of thing. It doesn't really matter. I don't need to try to explain it too much. But there are just some things in our life, just sometimes, there are just some limps, something that God doesn't take away. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it is something physical. Maybe it's something else. There are just some things that God doesn't seem to take away. And what do we do with that? I mean, is it just waste? Is it just a curse? I mean, that's part of the problem I have, is that I just believe God's, one of the first things I ever learned was God was big and God was good. Well, sometimes we'll compromise God being big because we want him to be so good. Well, he's as good as he is. We've been saying all for years and years, don't ever find yourself in a situation where you put God's character on trial. Settle it that God is good, and he's always good. But he's also really, really big, and he can do what he wants to do. And he's so brilliant and so big, he can do things that doesn't make sense, seems to contradict other things, his goodness, but he knows exactly what's going on. And so I don't like to ever give the devil credit and say, well, the devil prevailed. I mean, I know there are some places where it's obvious if somebody dies and trying to murder somebody or something, but God wins in the end if you're a Christian, right? But I just know this, there are some situations, some things that God just doesn't seem, some limps that God doesn't seem to remove. And how we steward that will determine the kind of anointing that we carry to bless people, even transgenerationally. These weren't his 12 sons. This is one of his son's sons. So he blessed his sons. But what about, this was transgenerational. There's an anointing that carries that goes beyond one generation. And so this is a massive anointing. He blessed his sons, or Joseph's sons, and then he said, and he worshiped while leaning on his staff. If you go through things, or if there's a limp in your life that God has not removed, hasn't taken away, hasn't changed, if you can worship him in that, if you can just quit trying to figure it out. Job said, I've complained about things too wonderful for me to understand. Well, I don't understand that at all. But if you can worship God when there are things in your life that are difficult or painful, and he hasn't taken it away, because he could have, before he ever left Peniel. But if there are things in your life that he hasn't taken away, and especially if it's a long-haul thing, if you have learned to worship him there, just praise him and worship him there, then you carry, there's a transcendent anointing to bring blessing to other people, to impact and influence other people. So we think in terms of, well, now this person got healed, or this person got delivered. What a cool story. This was a situation in their life, and it just, God miraculously took it away or changed it. Man, what a testimony. We believe God. But you know what God also uses? People who walk through things that they don't understand, that doesn't seem to change, but they've worshiped God anyway, and that carries an anointing to bless people also. So maybe it's your job. Maybe it's some other thing. Again, maybe it's a relationship. I don't know, but if you can worship him just because of he is good and he's really big and brilliant, knows what he's doing, if you can just worship him leaning on your staff, there's a transcendent anointing that you will manifest that will bring blessing to people, have impact and influence. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.